Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family. Why are you laughing? I know exactly why you're laughing. You haven't got a clue what to do with that, have you? Not a clue. Show the guys what's. We are really, guys. Honestly, we thought 2 weeks ago that we'd have our act together. We thought this would all be sorted.
I've cleared the room.
There is no boxes in the room, at least.
I've cleared the room.
We're not doing too badly. We are half. I'd say we're over halfway to this being half decent.
Yeah, I've got the pictures ready. I've cleared the room.
Yeah.
The blooming chairs haven't turned up.
The chairs haven't turned up. We were going to have a little table in the middle where we were going to put the mic. Just hasn't happened, guys. It hasn't happened. We've been so busy doing stuff. So what's going to happen this evening, guys, is you've got us,
testing, as usual,
on video. But Sam is going to... Oh, my God. Sam is going to hold...
I feel like John Motson.
Don't put it that close to you. You've just blown the headphones off of half of the community there.
Sorry, guys.
Don't... No, you're doing it again. Don't put it right by your mouth. Just there is fine, okay? If you thought, guys, that Sam sitting awkwardly last week was hilarious... You wait until we have audio going up and down, up and down. You can have a bit in your left ear, a bit in your right ear. You'll never know where the flipping audio is going to be this evening. It's going to be... Don't dance around. This is serious, Sam. If I can't trust you to hold... It's like talking to our five-year-old. If I can't trust you to hold the microphone, I'm going to... I've got my laptop on my lap already. This is... We are still getting to grips with this, guys. Bear with us. But what we are trying to do, as you can see... This is going to be the setup. We're going to have two chairs, which are not these plastic
not
ones.
Not these ones.
But
nice
the reason
ones.
We're going to be in front of this wall here is because we're going to have stuff. We're going to have stuff on this wall. Like, for
actual
example,
stuff.
For example, this picture that I put together of, boom, Stevie G, 2005. That is going up on the wall. We've also got this picture, boom, a bit of fan art that we got from FPL Cadet Eltel. Liverpool
right,
again.
Also, just anyone that's out there that makes some Spurs fan art, because we
no,
seem to have loads
and
of Liverpool
to
stuff.
It out, and to
no, no, hang on. How
out.
Many? Right, how many things down here are red?
There's a lot of Liverpool
and
stuff.
And how much is Spurs?
Not a lot.
Exactly. So anyone out there that makes fan art, that's a Spurs fan, I would like some Spurs more Spurs.
All right, well, to balance it out, I have got obviously our stuff from the guys at kickingtheballs.com. So you guys that are our patrons will already have seen... And most of you will be very happy that this covers up both of our faces for the rest of the evening. Most of you guys will have seen our Patreons, certainly the likes of Jason Ryan and FPL Keza, that have already won one of these. Not necessarily the White Hart Lane one, but I think Jason had an Arsenal Invincibles one, and Keza went for a Liverpool Champions of Europe one. So this is the sort of stuff, guys, that you can win in our Manager of the Month, our monthly competition. Stuff from Kicking the Balls. With two S's, .com. All the links are in the description below. Use the discount code FPLFamily10 for a discount. Awesome Christmas presents. Awesome Christmas presents. So if you want to have a gander at that,
more
very,
Spurs.
Very good. Now, this is your Christmas present. It's done. This, I'm just going to wrap this up and then it's done. That's Christmas out of the way. It's sorted. Sorted. So, let's see.
There we go.
I think we might be back. So, now, the live chat has gone crazy because everyone's going, no sound. Now, guys... Why? I'll give you first person in the live chat who can tell me why they think there was no sound there for a little while. Who can hazard a guess as to what might have happened there? Oh my god.
What should I do with it?
Just don't unplug it. If you unplug it, we'll be talking to ourselves for an hour.
I didn't mean to unplug
Jesus,
it.
Jesus, Sam.
To be fair, I didn't know.
You're already twisting it. Right. Right, listen. That's got to stay in there, okay?
I didn't
That's
know it
the
came
plug.
Unplugged.
Hold it about there.
I can't. Okay.
And let's not move it around or
Can
spin
I put it,
about
it on my lap? Is it all right if it what? Goes on my lap?
If we please keep the plug in the back. Guys, if you're in the live chat and we go mute again, can you please tell us? And I will somehow see in the live chat.
Okay. Right. Is that okay?
We've got Nandok in the live chat. Thank you, Nandok. Ask your five-year-old to come and hold it. Yes, I might do that. I might do that. He will do a better job, frankly. A better job. Before this descends into absolute chaos, and by the way, at some stage we might get round to talking about some FPL this week. By the way, I'm in a bad mood.
That's reduced me to tears already.
I'm going to bring it down because we're having far too much fun here this evening. Like, I'm in a bad FPL mood, guys. And if any of you in the live chat still like VAR, I want to hear from you. Anybody still liking VAR? No is the answer to that. Get your hand down right now. It is the biggest load of guff I've ever seen in our game.
Well, you know, it gave me a goal.
Yes, I know it.
It
well,
took two away from you.
Well,
so I like it.
My two key differentials against you are Madison and Sterling. That's all I'm going to say. That is all I'm going to say. I'm going to have a rant about it a bit later. I'm going to get it off my chest, guys, then I'm going to leave it. And then I'm going to be over it, because...
Just be glad that you weren't in our house yesterday.
Oh, my God, I was in such a... If we were live streaming this time last night...
No, I don't think we could have done it.
Oh, I was in a bad mood.
I think we'd have had to have cancelled the live stream if it was yesterday.
Guys, I don't... You guys that follow me on Twitter will know that I'm fairly... You know, I'm obviously, I love doing well in FPL, and I hate doing badly in FPL, but I never let it affect my mood. I don't let it like ruin my weekend. Ruin my weekend yesterday.
It ruined your weekend.
Oh,
definitely.
Did it ruin my weekend? Absolutely.
Didn't even find the jungle funny.
I was watching BT Sports score, and when Vardy misses that penalty, my joy went from... So I'm a non-Vardy owner, guys, and that has changed already. More on that a bit later on the stream. I'm a non-Vardy owner. This weekend I was... And I went from 0 to 5 out of 10 joy when he missed that penalty. Then I heard that the rebound went in and I went back down to 2. I was like, okay, well, he got the rebound, but at least he gets some minus points for missing the penalty. And then they say that it actually wasn't him, it was Maddison that got the rebound in. Boom, back up to 8. Absolutely loving that. Absolutely loving that. And then, retake. So back down to 0. Palace equalised about a minute later. Back down to -5. I was devastated.
And then Sterling got a goal wiped out.
And then the Sterling thing as well. His armpits again. Oh, this armpit offside thing. I'll tell you what. It's getting on my nerves, Sam. It's getting on my nerves, VAR. So before I get into VAR...
I feel like we need to put a light on in here. I
think we're okay.
We're very dark.
I'm wearing a dark jumper. I probably should have worn a lighter jumper. But
I think
for next week we'll
need to ponder the lighting as well.
Yeah, lessons learned. We're sort of, as you can see, guys, we are still making it up as we go along in the new house. But I think we are in a better position than we were this time last week.
I did find the windmill that Karan...
Yes, we've got this as well. The little windmill is here. Look at that. There we go.
It's back.
The windmill is there. Beautiful. And of course, the trophy is back, which... I feel after weekends like this weekend, where I get VAR decisions like the Vardy encroachment and the Sterling armpit, I feel like this is destined to come my way.
It's your side, anyway.
I feel like it's destined for me for another year. Honestly, it's going to just stay on my side. I feel like I'm destined to have that again. Anyway, we've got some questions, guys. We've got some poll questions, thanks to the guys on Twitter earlier today who answered the call for questions. I've got to bring it up on my phone here again. It's a bit to and fro, Sam, but I'm going to get there.
I mean, I've not broken the mic yet anymore.
Well, just once you've broken the mic, once. Question from Rushil. Thank you, Rushil, for the question. He's saying best Spurs player. We haven't asked that for a long time. We haven't asked about best Spurs players for a long time, but he wants to know Son, Ali, Moura or Kane. And of course, guys, we're going to go there first. We're going to talk about Spurs versus West Ham. Were Spurs brilliant? Were West Ham rubbish, or was it a bit of both? And we're going to get your view on that in a second. But thank you, Rushil, for the question. Get into the little white eye above my head, guys. The polls are up there. So Rushil's question is first. Then a second question, thank you, from FPL Fox. He's saying, Mount to Pulisic, a sideways move, or a move worth taking? So there we go. So there's a question about Mason Mount in the polls. Do you want to buy, sell, or hold? So a question about Mount in the polls. Sharma Nuradin is saying best midfielders under 4.4% ownership. So who is the best differential out of these four? Is it Dwight McNeil, Adama Traore, Jean Moutinho, who we're absolutely going to talk about a bit later on in this live stream?
Why do I keep benching him?
Or indeed Harvey Barnes. So best midfielders under 4.4% ownership. Mohamed Zaid then comes in with the next question. Which team are just a straight, Sam? Are they a straight avoid in FPL right now? Which ones are these? And I think there's an argument for saying all of these right now, but which team are a straight avoid? West Ham, Everton, Arsenal, Norwich, Southampton or Watford?
Oh my gosh,
who
there
is a straight avoid? And I don't know if I... Did I see some rumours on Twitter about Marco Silva being on his way out as we come on? I don't know.
I did see a rumour that he's gone, but...
Rumour or something concrete?
No, nothing concrete, just whispering.
Oh, guys, get in the live chat if you've seen that. If you've seen something more concrete than Sam and I have about Marco Silva's future at Everton. Get in the live chat, get in the comments. You've maybe just seen a little inkling somewhere.
Sorry,
I'm just
moving the mic again. I'm just checking out.
Leave it.
I was a bit uncomfy.
And then the final question comes from at VardyBoys on Twitter. So at VardyBoys, thank you for the question. He's saying, straight choice between these four. Maddison, Martial, Pulisic or Moura. Out of those four, who would you go for out of those four? So there we go, guys. Those are the questions for this evening. So get into the polls above my head, little white eye, and answer those questions. We will look at the results at the end of... this show. So here we go. Let's have a look at Poch to Everton, you guys are saying. Goodness me, you guys. Let's see.
Are we going to say hello?
Who is in? We're going to say hello. Rushil is here. How are you doing, Rushil? 90% sure he's gone, Lee says.
Ooh. Yeah, I did hear a whisper.
Ariaman18 is in. How are you doing? Rumours are that Emery is out.
Emery as well? They're both going in one night.
I think there's a lot of rumour.
Is this the race to get Poch?
That's it. Now there's a decent manager on the market. They're all dropping like flies.
Oh, I've dropped the mic.
Oh, God. Guys, anyone that's listening that just had a massive... I go out of my way to put this as a podcast. First of all, the podcasters have got... At least the guys can watch us being ridiculous when it goes on mute. The podcasters will literally have 30 seconds of complete silence. And what will happen then is they'll reset, they'll turn off. You've completely ruined the podcast this week, Sam. Completely ruined the podcast. Henry Lee, thank you for the question. How many points did you both get this week?
Look
at that at the end of the show. You've done all right. What are you moaning about?
I've still got two to come. My game week's
not
finished.
Two to play and you're doing all right.
I mean, I don't want one of them to play. Just so that Moutinho comes off my bench with 10 points.
Oh, Moutinho. FPL Tips is here. How are you doing, Harry?
Hey, Harry.
Scott Schrager is in. How are we doing? VAR equals VARD. Ooh, I don't know. Vardy, VAR. I wouldn't say it's Vardy getting the rub of the VAR green. I would say it's Liverpool, week in, week out, getting the rub of the VAR green. So, guys, do not get me wrong. Liverpool have been on the right side of a lot of flipping dodgy VAR calls, and for that I'm very thankful. But does it mean that I'm a lover of the technology and the process? No, it does not. I really do not think it's a good thing, even though it's benefited Liverpool in recent weeks, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Charles Annan is here, and he's saying Marco Silva resigned. Oh, there's a lot going on here. Liam Healy is in. How are you doing, Liam? Liam's season is on a bit of an upward trajectory, Sam. He's doing very well. Mm. There's a bit of a renaissance going on Liam's team. Very, very good. Viali Wright is here. How are you doing? Senior Hemmer is here. Arnesh Mishra is in. How are we doing, guys? Eddie Guna is here. How are we doing? MZ Ludo, 64, with McGinn to play. Nice looking score, yeah, I think that
McGinn,
is this week.
If McGinn could have a touch of the flu tomorrow night, very handy.
You could do with a McGinn benching, couldn't you?
Just having a touch of a cold that just
Moutinho
keeps him out for one game.
First sub would be very good, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
very good.
Just a touch of cold.
FPL Schwartz is in. Martin, how are you doing? Good evening. Welcome. Alpha 9 is here. How are we doing? Who have we got? Neil Crastin from the Patreon. Neil, how are we doing? Very nice to see you. Awesome-o is in as well. And all sorts. Felix O, Harry Clark, Karim Shafi, Clacko. Whole host of you guys in a whole host. 441 watching some.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to all 441 of you for dealing with my mic-related...
The mic-related issues.
Chaos.
It's not the guys on the live chat and the video. And the
I'm sorry
stream.
To the guys listening to this on the pod.
Can you make an
sound?
Official apology to the podcast listeners, please?
I'm very sorry, podcast listeners, for my inability to hold a microphone.
Very good. Thank you very much. We do need to say one special hello before we go on, and we're going to get right into these games in just a minute, guys, because there's so much to talk about. One special hello to a fan that we know who is a daughter of a friend of ours that we went to see last weekend. Casey Skinner, if you're watching, we love you, and thank you for joining us on FPL Family. So there we go. Very nice to see you, all of you guys in. Brian Springer's in, Alpha 9, Alexandra Wang, and a whole host of you guys. Let's get on with the show. So here we go. There's our Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. Almost at 22,000 followers. So guys, if you're following us over there, we thank you and we love you for doing that. At FPL Family over on Instagram as well. And of course, we have a Facebook page with some stuff on it as well. Search FPL Family on Facebook.
I'll do better.
The other thing we should say, by the way.
Yeah, so if you don't know...
Go on. Make your little announcement.
If you don't know, Lee and I are now doing some work alongside the lovely guys at Fantasy Football Scout. And you will now find them on Instagram. Handles FFScout_.
Don't forget the underscore. At FFScout_. And why is that? Because at FFScout... It's been taken by some guy called Dave from... He's done like two posts in 5 years and he's got it and we can't get it off of him. So at FFScout_. Don't forget the underscore.
So I am running the Fantasy Football Scout Instagram. So if you haven't done so already, head over, give us a follow on there. I'd like to have you on board.
Very good. Very, very good. All right, let's get into these games. And we need to start, Sam. We need to start... with Mourinho's first win at West Ham. Talk us through the game, because Spurs were absolutely cruising at 3-0.
Yes.
And then, actually, it actually could have been 3-3 by the end of the game, were it not for a VAR Declan Rice being ruled offside, which he was. He was offside. But the point I'm making is that it was a squeaky bum time there at the end.
What he was going to say.
Squeaky bum time at the end. So tell me your thoughts on the game. Mourinho's first game, how do you see it?
I thought for 60 minutes we were absolutely brilliant. The best I've seen us play in a very, very long time. I don't know what...
Do you want to move the mic a little bit about here, Sam, I think, when we're both talking? Go on.
Okay.
Go on.
It's quite heavy. I was giving it a rest on my leg.
That cable falls out again. I mean,
hang on. Oh, I'm going to stand it on
no.
my
leg.
Is that right?
I don't know. Guys, tell us. If the audio is rubbish, guys, tell us. We are properly...
I'm sorry, but we will get a table.
Go on, Spurs.
I thought we were brilliant for 60 minutes. I thought we came out of the blocks. We did exactly... Probably the last time I saw us play like that was against Crystal Palace when we came out of that game and bossed it for the first half and scored four. But we've not played that well for 60 minutes for a very long time. I thought Dele Alli was absolutely unbelievable.
He was a different player, wasn't he, to be fair? And I heard some comments about Mourinho almost on like day one on the training ground, went up to him and said, "Are you Dele Alli or are you Dele Alli's brother?" And he went, "I'm Dele Alli." And he said, "Good, because you've been playing like Dele Alli's brother, so I want the Dele Alli back." Mm. I want the real Dele Alli back. And I wonder whether he needed a bit of a reality check, Dele Alli. I wonder whether no one's been kind of straight with him like that.
Dele did come out and say, he said in the interview for Spurs TV, he said, "I really like it when people are honest with me. I'd prefer honesty."
Yeah. Because maybe babies need a bit of tough love.
Because when I get some honesty, then it's constructive and I can do something with it. And I think he is the sort of person that reacts quite well to negativity. It kind of spurs him on rather than kind of making him feel bad about himself.
Rishi was saying thoughts and prayers for Dele Alli's brother, by the way.
Yeah, sorry about that, Dele Alli's brother. Sorry about that. But yeah, I thought he was absolutely outstanding. I think
FPL asset.
Yes.
You do think so? Dele Alli's worth a little pump.
I really do.
Quite expensive in the game.
Yeah, 8.4. So he is expensive. But I genuinely do think that the way that the way that Mourinho set... Oh, it's made me feel a bit ill.
What?
Not saying Poch. The way that Mourinho...
You're used to saying Jose.
The way that Mourinho set up that game was very much in the style of Dele Alli. It was very much how he would want to play, straight through the middle as a number 10, sitting behind Kane. He was making all the right movements in all the right places. And
FPL wise, though, I mean, he got an assist. So...
But I was unlucky not to get more than that because Kane, in the third minute, Kane missed a very open opportunity. We have to take into account that West Ham were very bad for that hour. Yeah. So we do have to bear that in mind. But I do think that Dele Alli is going to, if he continues on the trajectory that we've seen so far under Mourinho, then I think he could be really good.
So there's going to be a lot of people getting rid of the likes of... I mean, I think there's going to be a bit of a bandwagon for Sterling out in the next week, for sure. Now, a lot of people are going to be dropping down to, potentially, a Spurs midfielder. And the obvious choice, but given that you've got no money issues there if you get rid of Sterling, the obvious choice feels like Son.
Mm.
Give me your thoughts on Dele Alli versus Son, given the fact that, what's Son, is he like a million more or maybe sort of 0.8 more, something like that?
Yeah.
Is Son worth the extra or do you think Dele is massively differential? Not that Son isn't, because Son, I think, is a reasonable differential, but Dele is a massive differential.
Yeah, I think it depends where you are, doesn't it, really? I think Son is the slightly safer bet. He's a bit more kind of shieldy, if we want to put it from that point of view.
Okay.
He's a safe pair of hands that will tick over the points nicely week in, week out, is my view on Son.
He looked dangerous as hell again, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Sort of Mourinho sort of player.
Yes, and we don't normally see that from Son on the return after international break, so that was positive as well, that he came out and played like that. But I also think while we're having this conversation, it will be a miss of us not to mention Lucas Moura, who I also think is a very Mourinho-type player, and I think will get a lot of minutes under Mourinho. I think that is his front four, is my opinion. That's the four he wants to play. I think Eriksen's got a hell of a lot of work to do if he wants to get back in that team. I think Mourinho will play Kane, Son, Moura and Alli week in, week out, unless one of them is injured or unless somebody puts in some serious grafting on that training ground to usurp them. And I think Moura could be a really, really lovely... He was a little bit off in that game, missed a couple of really nice opportunities.
Well, he's potentially a bit rusty because he's not really been in the team consistently.
No, he hasn't. And I think, you know, we saw last season how good Lucas Moura can be, particularly in the Champions League fixtures last year. So I would expect to see more game time for him. And obviously he's another nice differential. So I think it's just worth keeping an eye on Spurs. I mean, we've got two nice fixtures coming up against Bournemouth and then against Burnley before, obviously, the Manchester United Mourinho derby. So it maybe is worth giving it a watch over the Bournemouth game and seeing how he lines up again and how they come out. But I really like, I think there's definite potential there, yeah.
And Dominic O'Donnell is in the live chat. Thank you, Dominic, for the comment. He's saying Lo Celso, and of course we've got Lamela as well to come back. So
yeah, Lamela's a few weeks away.
Where do these guys fit into it?
Lamela's a few weeks away, and I think Lamela is very much a Mourinho type of player. I think he will do very well under Mourinho because he's a bit like we were just saying about Dele Alli. He listens, he takes on board advice, and I think he's great. But Lo Celso, I still think he needs a bit of time. He's not up to speed with the English game yet, but there's so many options in that midfield. I think the interesting thing for me, actually, with Spurs, more is the defence and whether we get on board with those. Because I think for the last 30 minutes of the game, Mourinho made a comment about there was a lot of tired legs after international break. And but I also think that there was a bit of complacency there. It was just like, we're 3-0 up and let's just coast it to the end of the game rather than just see it out. And potentially, you know, what you said was right. If we hadn't have had international break and then have just played two games, maybe they would have seen it out. This time around, they did their best to throw it out. But I think the defenders could be quite good as well.
Who's your starting fullbacks then? Who do you think Mourinho's going to... I'm going to go him and him, left and right. If you were to pick him now,
I think he'll put Aurier over Rose. He's made some very interesting comments about. He thinks.
Yes, I do.
What did he say about Rose? He's lazy. He doesn't move enough. He called him lazy.
Well, he is a little bit. And I thought the thing that I was interested in by him not playing Rose and Eriksen at the weekend. Those are the two players out of all of the players that have come out in the last 6 to 12 months, and both said, we want new challenges. We want to do something else. We're thinking about where our futures might lie, and it might be outside of Spurs. Rose actually very vocally, to the point where he may alienated himself a little bit from the fans. Eriksen maybe a little bit less vocally, but he still came out and said it publicly. So I wonder if Mourinho is looking at that and going, well, look, I want to build something here. I only want players that are committed. You guys, and I saw it while Mourinho was out of the game, I saw that you guys both want to do something different. That's fine. You're not in my team then. It's Aurier and it's my other front three. And Eriksen, if you want to play in this team, then you've got to get back into it. Rose, if you are second in my thoughts. If you want to get into this team, you've got to show me in training that actually you're really committed.
Yeah, probably.
And in reality, the other fullbacks, I think, have all got a job to do, quite frankly.
And I think, I mean, the Spurs fan in me worries a lot about Aurier being the first choice because the man is a bit of a live wire. Let's put it nicely. He's a bit of a live wire and he does worry me. He makes mistakes. But, and credit where credit's due, I don't normally say nice things about him. But what I will say is for 66, 67 minutes, I thought Aurier was absolutely brilliant on Saturday.
He was all right, yeah.
He did everything right. He didn't make any rash decisions. He was thinking about what he was doing. And I thought he was really excellent. And that shows he got bonus points. Conceded 2 goals and got 2 bonus points.
Very good.
I thought it was really interesting. But, and on the other side, it looks like Ben Davis. I mean, he got the nod. So let's see what happens there. Obviously, we've got KWP who's now back. We've got Foyth who's coming back. We obviously still don't have Vertonghen. So when Vertonghen's back, will he want to play Vertonghen and Toby? Well, that makes perfect sense. But then what do you do with Sanchez? And Ndombele wasn't injured for the weekend. When he's fit, will it be him or Dyer? There's a lot to kind of ponder on at Spurs.
It's early days. He's going to settle and he's going to find his team. He's going to find the players that want to play for him. Another thing, just as a neutral, that I noticed was that with Kane in front of that front three there, especially with Winks and with... Who else did you play in there?
Dyer.
So Winks and Dyer sitting there. Then the three creative ones and then Kane. The one thing that we didn't see Kane do, as we have seen week after week, is get frustrated and drop back to get the ball and almost say, I've got to get involved somehow. He didn't do that. He didn't drop. He stayed at that front man and he stayed there as the focal point and trusted the other three to be the creative hub. And it worked.
It took 35 minutes before I saw him cross the halfway line in that game, which for me as a Kane owner was massively important.
He actually could have had, and it's a lovely header, and all right, Fredericks probably should have done better at the far post, but it's a lovely Kane perfect sort of Kane goal, wasn't it, that header? Then he had one ruled out for offside, I think, in the first half.
Two.
Had a couple of chances. On another day, Kane gets a double-figure FPL haul, and then we're all sitting here, rather than talking about which midfielder we want, because Son's obviously in everyone's thoughts, we're all thinking about Kane coming back, aren't we?
Well,
on another day.
I have done a complete reversal in the last week. So on Sunday last week, you'll remember that I was talking about, or on Sunday the week before last, I was talking about Kane out was my transfer. Suddenly, I went from Kane out being my transfer to seriously contemplating captaining Kane this week to now I'm definitely keeping Kane.
Very good. Very good. All right. Lots of Spurs talk, but I think warranted because it was encouraging. It was encouraging. It was a bit less encouraging for you to concede those two goals at the end there, but I don't genuinely know whether that's a fitness thing or what I will say about West Ham was, and we'll come to their inability to even
Antonio
kick
was massively
Antonio
important.
Came on and looked like, out of all the players in that West Ham side, he actually did give a damn.
Yeah, he tried really hard.
And he tried hard and he got his goal and he actually looked like he wanted to play for the team, whereas the others, goodness me, they did some analysis on Match of the Day of Sebastian Haller. Now, we said in pre-season, this guy, if he doesn't get the support and the creativity around him, can therefore get a bit isolated. And when he gets isolated, doesn't put a shift in, tends to be a bit shruggy of his shoulders, tends to be a bit flaky in games. We are 100% seeing that right now.
Yes.
I think we're 100% seeing that side of Haller. He is not working. He is not breaking a sweat, that guy. And that is permeating through the team. So you've got Haller at the front not working, and that's feeding its way back into the team. Then you've got the world's dodgiest goalkeeper. This guy, honestly, guys, if you watch the game at the weekend, Rodrigo does not he would not inspire confidence in me at all. And so you've got Rodrigo at this end permeating that kind of nervousness, and it's sort of meeting in the middle with players like Antonio and Noble trying to take the game by the scruff of the neck. But there's just this...
And Noble was good, to be fair.
He played okay. He felt like he was just getting so frustrated, though, by what was around him.
The thing is, it's going to be worse next week because now Diop's suspended because he got his fifth booking on Saturday. So now they've got Diop missing from that back line. What on earth is that back line going to look like with Jimenez, or whatever his name is, in goal?
Roberto,
flapping around behind them. And now they're missing Diop. I genuinely worry... Well, who West Ham got next week? Because whoever they got
Chelsea?
Next week...
Chelsea away.
Oh, well, there you are. Captain Tammy Abraham.
Well, I think that's absolutely worth looking at.
They've got to go to Chelsea
going
next week.
Going to Chelsea, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we better all bring in Pulisic and Captain Tammy Abraham.
You've got to think about it. I mean, so to answer the original question, Spurs played well, no question. Best we've seen them in a long time. Barely much better. Kane not coming back, etc., etc. But goodness me, West Ham were awful. West Ham were absolutely awful. And if they carry on like that... And to be honest, it feels a bit deep-seated. I can't see that Haller suddenly becomes a player that puts a shift in. I can't suddenly see that Roberto turns into a decent keeper. These are big problems they've got, and I don't see it changing against Chelsea
away. Fabianski's not back anytime soon. Fabianski is a fantastic keeper, and I think until now, until he's been injured, I didn't really appreciate how important he is just to the whole team. It's not just about saves. It's about the impact that he has on everybody else's morale and how everyone else feels about the game. They're a nervous team without him.
Absolutely. So Jack Benzie is in. He's saying, up the iron. Sorry, Jack. I went in a bit hard there on West Ham, but your boys were pretty bad. I know that
Can only get better.
I know that Suj from Planet FPL is a big West Ham fan. I know that the mayor of FPL, Tom Campbell, big West Ham fan. So a lot of big West Ham fans on Twitter that absolutely know their football and absolutely know their FPL. And I tell you what, every one of those West Ham fans to a man is saying how bad they are right now. So it's these guys know their football. They know when their team is bad. And right now, they are not good. We missed the super chat before earlier from Mr. Tips. So thank you, FPL Tips,
Harry,
for the super chat. He's saying that he's at about 600k right now, but his missus is at about 10k. He says FPL Family 2.0. I feel your pain, Harry.
Harry.
I feel your pain.
I think, and I might be wrong here, but I think this is her first season playing FPL
is
as well.
Really?
I think so. So she's in her first season
beginner's
playing
luck,
FPL.
Beginner's luck, Harry. Beginner's luck.
Because I'm pretty sure he was going to help her set up her first ever team. And now she's beating him by how many?
Savage.
500. She's in the top 10K and he's
top
at 600K.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, Harry.
There we go.
Get her on your live stream.
There we go. Right. we touched on Chelsea there in terms of how good their options might be against West Ham next week. Your thoughts on Manchester City 2, Chelsea 1. I thought for the first half an hour, by the way, Chelsea ran that game.
Yes, I did.
Absolutely ran that game. Deserved to be 1-0 up. Possibly could have had more. Tammy was absolutely on one. I like the fact that they dropped Mason Mount. As a Mount owner, I put him on the bench, mainly because I thought that Lampard would go with that three in the middle, Kovacic, Kante and Jorginho.
A bit like Liverpool did.
Yes, they wanted to control that midfield. With Mount going forward, don't get me wrong, he's a real thrust in there.
Yeah.
But against Man City, could be a bit suicidal. Yeah. With the likes of Kevin De Bruyne.
Could be a lot suicidal.
Could be a bit suicidal. So what they did was try to control that midfield in the way that Hendo, Wijnaldum and Fabinho did a few weeks ago. And for about 30, 35 minutes, they did a pretty good job of that. But that is a sign of champions. Man City dug in, got back into that game when actually they didn't. They got a bit of luck. De Bruyne's goal, big deflection off of Tomori. But again, De Bruyne was bombing forward in a way that makes me a bit more happy to have him as an FPL asset after the last few weeks. So he was getting a bit more forward as I would have liked to have seen. So yeah, thoughts on that game. Given that Chelsea host West Ham in game week 14, I'm absolutely not considering dropping my Chelsea assets after that game, are you?
No, so I've got Tomori, who I'll play next week, because West Ham, I mean, we gifted them a couple of goals, let's be frank. And I've got Tammy Abraham, who I'll potentially captain next week.
I think he's going to be a very popular captain, Tammy Abraham, next week.
Yeah, so do I.
Very popular.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it's just that whether there's somebody else that's a better option out there, and potentially there is, and we can look at that later. But it's Man City that I find the most interesting. I think Chelsea are a bit of a no-brainer because even though they've gone up a lot in value, they're still cheap. All those players are still them. They're yeah. still offering you really nice value. They're still cheap options for a big six club.
Yes.
They are still great differential, you know, cheap options. So I don't think we have to say a lot about Chelsea, but it's the Man City ones that really intrigue me because like now I'm sat. I've been sat for a couple of weeks now on just KDB. And I still maintain
probably
that
an okay place to be, isn't it?
I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah.
I look at that game and, you know, we watched it. I don't think I want to own Sterling at any...
Oh, you absolutely do not want to own Sterling right now.
I keep looking at him thinking, you know, there was all these plans. All the plans I had from game week, from the start of the season were about that him getting Sterling for game week 3, getting Sterling for game week 10, getting Sterling for whatever game week it is coming up. And it keeps getting to that point and I think, no.
Well, do you know what was interesting for me was that I saw that team sheet and I thought,
Mendy's
playing. So if Mendy's playing, the general rhetoric in the Twitter community, and even I've been saying it a lot, is that if Mendy plays, Sterling doesn't stay as wide, he gets more central, he's therefore more influential, gets the FPL points. Well, Mendy played and Sterling was, and I'll tell you what, in the second half, he played his way into the game a little bit. But first half in that game, let me tell you, Sterling was completely anonymous. No. I wasn't even sure he was playing. Now, of course, if you captain Sterling, you actually could consider yourselves a little bit unlucky because the offside call right at the end there, the 93rd minute or whatever. Come on. I mean, is he offside?
Well, he is according to VAR.
According to VAR, I guess he's offside. But for goodness sake, the way that he bent his run backwards to get in line with the last defender was... It's class. That's what you want to see from an attacking player in that position. If he was just stood in an offside position, fair enough. But he arced his run so that he could come back into what he considered to be an onside position. In previous seasons, without VAR, the attacker would have got the benefit of the doubt there. And you would have been called in line, in my view. And it would not have been ruled out. But now we have VAR, his armpit's offside.
But he was given offside in the game, wasn't he? So the lino gave it.
I'm not sure he was he?
Yeah, and the ref agreed with it. And the VAR agreed with it. So,
oh, I thought he was given a goal.
I don't know. I thought... I might be wrong there, but I thought he was flagged off in the game.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
So Sterling captainers, I think because of that decision, can feel a little bit hard done by, no doubt about it. However, had that goal stood, I think you would have also considered yourself very lucky, Sterling captainers, because for 92 minutes of that game, he was not good. He was not good, let me tell you. If you owned Sterling right now, would you sell?
Yeah.
100%. 100%. And I already have, guys. We'll talk about transfers a bit more towards the end of the show.
What, your rage transfers?
I very rarely get emotional about FPL, but last night I was so annoyed with what had gone on yesterday, I rage transferred him out. Sterling is gone. It just so happened that Vardy was getting a price rise, so, you know, I've already missed a ton of price rises on Vardy, and I wanted to just get rid of Sterling, get Vardy in. Not having him was killing me every single week.
What's
so
Vardy
I have got
like?
Rid of Sterling. if he does now, then fine, because he just blanks for everybody. It's a Shield pick, right? Mm. But Sterling looks so out of that game. And I know he goes to Newcastle away next, and yes, they can score against Newcastle, but he's also got that ban looming over him. The fixtures look difficult. A part of me wonders whether he maybe wasn't wholeheartedly going into the game because he was worried about getting that additional booking and getting that.
What's he going to play like that all season?
Well, I don't know. But either way, I'd made my mind up at half time, frankly, because in that first half, he was completely anonymous. It's not in the game.
It's difficult. And I think, you know, if Sterling was the same price as, say, Dele Alli or Lucas Moura or even Son, maybe, you'd think, well, okay, hold. But at the price tag that he is, it's just too much money to be blanking week in, week out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Ricky Tan is saying, you just know Sterling is going to haul versus Newcastle. Ricky, if he does, he does. If he does, he does. But at the moment, he is stinking up my team at 12 million. And at 12 million, he'll get goals. No doubt. He'll get FPL points over the next few weeks now that I've sold him. But listen, he's not. At the minute, I don't feel like I'd captain him. And at 12 million, you want to be very, very confident to captain that player, don't you?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. I think that's the point, isn't it?
And if you look at the next 3 to 4 game weeks, it's a Chelsea or Leicester captain every damn week. Mm. Chelsea, 3 home games in the next 4, including West Ham next.
Except for Spurs, when I'm going there.
Except for Spurs, which is the game you're going. Let's talk about Crystal Palace 1, Liverpool 2. Another weird game. We're not talking about the VAR. Liverpool got lucky. There's no doubt about it. There's a push. Yes, there's a push. It's not enough for a foul. It's questionable whether even Lovren gets to the ball.
Why is it always Lovren? Well, why is he always involved in
and
these
I know
things?
A lot of Liverpool Twitter accounts are coming out and saying, well, you know, Trent gave a little push to Zaha and he went over just as easily for the free kick and the first. I get all of that, but listen, that should have been a goal for Tompkins, in my opinion. But nevertheless, and had that been a goal, I don't think Liverpool could have complained going into the break 1-0 down. I don't think we could have complained at that because, to be fair, Liverpool were right off it in the first half, right off it. And in the second half, it wasn't a lot better. We just had a couple of chances that we took. And to be honest, both the goals were a little bit scrappy. Mane's goal, he just flung a leg at it, and it Gaeta possibly could have done better, saved onto the post, and then it kind of dribbled over the line. And then the Firmino goal, it's a bit of a goal-mouth scramble. Very non-Liverpool sort of goal to concede. But
the mark
Liverpool
of champions,
just
that is.
Find a way to win.
It's
we
the
just
mark of champions,
win. That's
I'm
the
telling
way it is.
You.
Gaz Temple, lucky Liverpool-y. Yeah, maybe. But do you know what? We do it every week, and it can't be luck every week. It can't be luck every week. There's got to be some mentality there that means we just win. We just find a way to win these games. So Liverpool, going forward, the fixtures look really nice, as we've reported a few times in these live streams. You right now have Mane and Trent. In fact, you're the same as me, right? Mane and Trent. How are you feeling about the treble up? Are we too close now to game week 18 and that blank for Liverpool for you to bring in either Robbo or Salah or somebody else?
Yeah, I don't want any more.
Yeah, 2 I think is about right for this moment in time.
I mean, I could because, as we all know, I still have my wild card, which the plan was to use that to solve my issues around game week 18 and all that kind of stuff. But equally, I feel like with Liverpool, the way, and don't take this the wrong way, but the way that you're playing at the moment, I just see you winning games but not smashing anybody. So I think I don't see you keeping clean sheets that often. I don't see you smashing anybody. So I just feel like doubling up either at the back or at the front is a little bit kind of, it's just too much.
I will say that Liverpool have tended, and I've seen this in previous weeks, where Liverpool have tended to struggle post-international break. There's no doubt about it. A lot of players travelling. You come back, you've got to go away to Palace after an international break is 100% the game you don't want, right? You want a nice home game to Brighton like we've got next week. But away to Palace is a very banana skin sort of game after international break. So to grind out a 2-1, I was very happy with that. There's nothing about that game that's made me think I want out of Trent or Mane. I'm going to keep both of those guys. Brighton at home next game week, and then the fixtures after that look all right up until 18. So I think those are the two I've got. I'm happy to stick.
I am finding Trent increasingly frustrating.
You know he's going to get points.
I watch him and I like him and he's doing everything right, but then it's always Robbo that gets the points at the moment. But you just know if you do the sideways switch and take Trent out for Robbo, you'll end up, it backfires and it becomes, I mean, it's the same thing that happened to me early on, wasn't it? It was all about Trent. I swapped them over for a few weeks. It stuck being with Trent, and then ever since it's been all about Robbo. And I think it will swap back again at some stage. But it's just one of those irritating things at the moment that comes with choosing a Liverpool defender.
I'm still considering both. You know, I'm still considering both. I think I still think both Robbo and Trent are fantastic.
Cheap, isn't there?
Well, there is, and the challenge with it is that there's so much great value elsewhere. Like, you ain't dropping Lord Lundstrom anytime soon, are you?
Never.
And then you've got Soyuncu and Leicester are looking very, very astute at the back, and they've got lovely fixtures.
Yeah.
If you've got Tomori, you're going to hold. You probably benched him this week, but you're going to play him over the next few weeks. Three of the next four at home, you're going to play him. Who else is there? Yeah, it's just good value.
Mm.
So to have Trent and Robbo in there, you're sort of saying, well, I'm going to play those two every week. I think there's enough rhetoric going around to say you're not going to drop Lundstrom. So you're going to play Trent, Robbo and Lundstrom. So unless you want to go four at the back, you're thinking about benching a Soyuncu or a Tomori. Well, you ain't doing that over the next 4 or 5 weeks. So I think the move to Trent and Robbo, if you're on it, I don't think you should get off it. If you want to go that way, I wouldn't advise you against it. But at the same time, there's so much value at the back there.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That I think it almost feels a bit like just pick one and stick with it. Honestly think that. Palace, for their part, a lot of people were talking about the fact that, you know, they had Liverpool next and then the fixtures look great. Now that Liverpool game's out of the way, their fixtures are, by the way, phenomenal between now and
so
the
top.
New year.
They're
so
top of the ticker now, between now and the end of the year.
Anybody catching your eye in that game?
Well, we made a video that you will never see now.
Oh, yes.
Made a video for FF Scout that unfortunately never made it before the deadline. And in that, we spoke at length about Crystal Palace. And we did a little comparison of Jordan Ayew and Zaha.
Yes.
In terms of the fixtures look so great, it makes sense to have a Palace player. Well, who were you going to go for?
Yeah.
And obviously, Ayew is the striker. He's the cheaper option. And then there's Zaha.
He could have had a goal at the weekend, by the way.
He could have, and probably should have. But we eventually both agreed that if you're going to go that way, if you're going to go for a Palace player, it really, everything suggests it should be Zaha, who then, obviously, went and got a goal.
Everything suggests it should be Zaha.
If you're going for a Palace player, apart from the price...
Nothing this season has suggested you should go for Zaha.
No, but if you run the numbers and you look at the statistics like we did last week, the Zaha is the pick in reality.
Okay.
Now the big difficulty with picking Zaha is that, as we've just discussed and as you've said in the polls, there are so many other options there that it's hard to go with him because the form hasn't been there, but the fixtures certainly are from now on. So I think it's a wait and see on Palace in game week 14, knowing that they've still got like 4 weeks worth of great fixtures. So let's see who performs next week and then start to think about moving for them.
Okay, well, I might want to put himself in the shop window for January. You never know. I want to briefly gloss over Everton 0, Norwich 2. Goodness knows what is going on at Goodison right now. I don't know how to comment on that other than it feels very 5 or 6 weeks ago, that game, because Cantwell played well, Pukki played well, and Everton were just really, really bad. And I think Silva is... his neck is on the block. There's no doubt about it. The biggest thing to come out of that game, I think, is that actually Everton have got Leicester next week. I think they've got to go to the King Power next week. So actually, given that Chelsea
triple
are playing...
Captain Vardy.
Well, listen, Chelsea at home to West Ham, which is a classic great team in form versus a terrible team out of form. Leicester at home to Everton. I think it's actually quite difficult to pick between your Tammies and your Madisons and your Vardys and your Pulisic. Any one of those could be a nice option. Then Liverpool are at home to Brighton as well, so Mane could be an option. Loads of options, guys. Loads of options for captaincy next week. But Norwich pulling a result out of the bag that we absolutely weren't expecting. Let's have a quick talk on Brighton 0, Leicester 2 then. So, I'm not talking VAR and encroachments and all that nonsense. But Vardy, again, proved himself to be an absolutely essential pick right now. Don't know how I've gone this long without him. It was absolutely... part of my thinking to get him in for this game week.
Yeah, you
can talk
and
about I think
it.
Had the Sterling goal counted right at the end of that game, I would have just been on the right side of that decision. Just. As it didn't, I was absolutely on the wrong side of that decision and should have pulled the trigger last week. But nevertheless, didn't do that. And Vardy has got to come in now. He's got to. I've got no choice. I think if you haven't got him now, it's going to hurt your rank so much to not have him. Again, I've had an all right game week. It's not great, but it's solid. But
are you finished?
I'm done. I'm all out. Yeah, I'm all out. So okay. All my 11 have played, and it's decent. It's fine. But what's stopping it? And my overall rank is about par.
Okay.
But I've been about par for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And the reason I've been about par
Vardy.
Is because I haven't had Vardy.
Yeah.
If I'd had Vardy for 3 or 4 weeks, I would have gone up to sort of 70, 60k. So.
Oh, good. You'd probably be above me.
Don't know about that.
Well, I don't know, because he was only 30 points in us. If you'd have had all those Vardy points when he got the 9-0 and all of that, you never know.
But I think, you know, we sat here, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, I had Mount, you had Abraham, I had Madison, you had Vardy, and we were thinking about, well, who's going to be right between Madison and Vardy? And I think the answer was, we were both right. And actually, possibly both wrong as well, because the answer was both. I think you've got to have both now, haven't you? Because despite Madison, Vardy, I think you were more right than me. Vardy is absolutely the one to have. But Madison has looked very good as well.
Yeah, but I don't feel I have to have him. Yeah, I think that's the difference. True. I think I don't disagree with you. I think Madison has looked great, but I don't feel I have to have him because I feel like there are other options there that I can have. I do feel like I've potentially done the wrong thing getting Tielemans. Not because of Tielemans himself. I did it because I wanted to treble up on Leicester and he was the one I could afford. I couldn't afford Madison. Sure. However, there are other players that I want in that midfield bracket. And I think the Tielemans spot might just be a temporary Tielemans spot. But having said that, I do agree with you about Madison. I think he's a great pick. I said that, I think, originally that I thought he was a really good pick. I didn't think he was a bad pick at the time. I think the difference is that if you don't have Madison, you can just about cover yourself with other players and other teams doing stuff.
Yeah, I think he's worth the extra. I think he's worth the extra. If you've got a bit of money in the bank to go up to him, I think it's worth
it. I think that's the point, isn't it? But I'm not going to lose some other players to get Madison. I'd rather lose some other players to get Martial, for example.
Okay, very good. Aaron Chen is saying, should we drop Madison? I don't think you should do that, Aaron. No, I'm more than happy that he's doing the business and Leicester are informed. The fixtures look good. I think he's going to be okay. Gurkha NY is saying Chilwell and then a couple of flame emojis. Yes, the fullbacks again looking good. So I don't think I want to talk too much about Leicester. If you've got Leicester players, you'd have placed your bets by now, I think, on who you're going to have. Unless you're me and you haven't got Vardy yet. And I've placed a very late bet, but I need to place it. Whoever you've placed your bets on, stick with them. They all look pretty good. I think they all look pretty good. And if you've got the fullbacks, then I think the points are on the way, right? Points are on the way. So Brighton 0, Leicester 2. Nice result there for Leicester. Sheffield United 3, Manchester United 3. Now, we only caught the first half an hour of this game because we went out for dinner for your mum and dad for the birthday and we missed all of the chaos in the second half. Yeah. We missed the chaos. But when we were half an hour in, when we left home here...
Lundstrom was lording it again.
Lundstrom was on a clean sheet and an assist. Sheffield United were absolutely bossing Man United, left, right and centre. So I don't know what happened at half-time. I'd imagine Ollie got in there and said, you need to be more physical.
I'm going to get the sack, hurry up and do something.
You need to get in amongst it a bit more. And it looks like, we didn't see the second half, we'll watch Match of the Day 2 a bit later on, but it looks like United did come back and salvage something from that game. Actually could have won it with 3-2 with only a couple of minutes to go. So I don't think we can comment too much on this because we haven't really seen the highlights and stuff. But get in the live chat, guys. Let us know your thoughts on Sheffield United
Josh
3,
and that are in there,
Manchester say. United 3, absolutely. But needless to say, Lundstrom only 3 points this week. And I think we feel a bit disappointed that he's only got 3 points. And it's like, well, can't get 21 points every week.
I took that to the car and it was just like, oh, I feel a bit gutted that Lundstrom only got 3. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he was unlucky not to get a goal as well in that first sort of 20 minutes.
Hit the post, didn't he? Sam O'Sullivan is in. He's saying Sheffield United dominated until Williams scored a screamer and then Man United had a crazy 5 minutes. Yeah, so there we go. Martial matters. Should we get this Williams guy? Now, listen, I don't think so. I'm not a big follower of Man United.
Has got him.
Really?
I believe so.
Okay, well, listen, I'm not a massive follower of Man United fringe players. I'm guessing he's a youth team player, is he? That Ollie's kind of pushed through. Don't know much about him, guys. Aaron Chen, Brandon Williams, 1 goal, 1 assist. Yeah, well, listen, he's obviously had a good game. I don't know, 4 million, Aaron Chen's saying. You know, if you want to go for him, have a look, guys, but I think I'd want to see a little bit more first.
But
I haven't seen
at
enough.
Four mil, it's nice bench fodder.
Yeah, maybe. So he's in there.
Trouble is, if I keep getting all these 4 million players, who am I benching? Because
true,
there's so many of them. It's like the same with Moutinho, right?
True. In fact, we'll do Arsenal last. Let's talk about Moutinho then. Bournemouth 1, Wolves 2. Wolves looking in really, really good form right now.
So fed up with myself.
Really, really good form. So Moutinho on your bench, which was obviously a bit of a disappointing move. But looking at your midfield...
Disappointing.
But looking at your midfield, I see why you made that choice.
Honestly,
I can see it.
I'm so fed up.
I had nothing to do with it this week, by the way.
No, Lee is clear.
I dare not say anything.
Lee's name is clear this week. He did not get involved in my team selection. He is absolutely not to blame for anything that happened with my team selection this week. There you are. You've been cleared.
So Sam O'Sullivan is saying, fed up. So Sam O'Sullivan, would you go in FPL right now, Traore or Moutinho? I guess you're backing Moutinho.
Backing him so much,
you benching him.
But why, Sam? Why do I do this? I'm so fed up. My bench has now got... I've now had nearly 170 points on my bench so far this season. It is ridiculous that I'm benching this many points every week.
And as Gurkha NY is saying, what a strike by Moutinho, honestly, by the way. But if you've seen coming. It. Oh,
and
what
I
a
said,
goal.
I said like 3 weeks ago, everything was pointing in that direction. I knew it was coming and I'm so fed up with myself. Because then, like, the assist last week, the goal this week, everything is going in the right direction.
Is that 14 Moutinho points benched over the last 2 game weeks?
Yes, Lee, it is. And don't... McGinn. John McGinn, if you're listening, please could you get the flu?
If McGinn pulled up in training,
if his car could break down on the way to the ground tomorrow, and maybe his missus could be pregnant and she could go into labour, or anything, anything, John McGinn, please. Or, of course, get a hat trick tomorrow.
What I love about the Moutinho thing is that all week you went on the FPL show, went on the FPL pod. Moutinho is my essential differential. He's my differential for the week. He's the player that I'm backing. I've got him in my team. You bloody benched him. What are you thinking?
But who was I going to not play? I'm not going to not play Mane. I'm not going to not play KDB. Who else did I? Oh, I had Tielemans, who had a lovely game. I wasn't going to bench him. So it came down to a choice between McGinn and Moutinho. And I thought that Bournemouth's defence were a bit tighter. So maybe that there was more of a chance of him blanking than there was McGinn, who's got to play Newcastle. I got it wrong.
All right, question for you then. Jimenez. You're currently not a Jimenez owner, is my understanding. Now, this guy is scoring goals for fun in every competition, even for Mexico in the international break.
Yes.
Thoughts on getting him in?
I'd have to get rid of Kane.
Which right now doesn't feel like the right thing to do, does it, based on what we said earlier?
No.
So who have you got? Kane, Tammy and...
Vardy.
And Vardy, of course. So, yeah, that's a front three you don't want to mess with.
So that's a front three that's going nowhere in our
room. That's a front three you don't want to mess with. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So
yeah.
Moutinho is my Wolves.
Okay.
And if he can keep bagging... I'm going to have to start playing him, aren't I? But you know what's going to happen, 100%. Don't you? You know what's going to happen. I'll put him in and he'll blank.
Well, you could be quite right. But assists for Jota and Traore in that game. So Wolves, wherever you look...
Yeah, just...
Are looking good.
Look,
looking good.
I think the point is here with Wolves... Whoever you can afford, and in whatever position you can afford, it is worth having a Wolves player. They have turned a corner. They look massively better. They are coping on their fronts that they're playing on now. Whether it's Jimenez, whether it's one of the midfielders, whether it's Jota, I don't think it matters is the point.
Ritwick, here's a nice question from Ritwick. Thank you for the question. Sam, Kane and Moutinho or Son and Jimenez? That's a nice one, isn't it? That's a nice one. You'd go Kane and Moutinho because that's who you've got.
Kane and Moutinho are my boys. So
I think I'd go Son and Jimenez, you know, Eric. I think I would.
Let's see what's happening next week.
Let's have a good old jolly laugh at the other side of North London. No, sorry, Arsenal fans. I'm not gonna rub it in, but that is a game 100% that you would have expected Arsenal to win. We're all thinking about Lacazette differential captain, which actually would have been a fantastic shout.
Just back me up here when I say this. Who was my differential captain for the FPL show this week that we never got to talk about?
We run out of time on the FPL show, but your differential captain was going to be Aubameyang. You're absolutely... No. It was Lacazette. You did say Lacazette.
I was Lacazette.
And who was mine that we ran out of time?
Richarlison.
Who was Richarlison? Yeah. Absolute guff. So Lacazette with the 2 goals. Danny Ings again, Rambo from FPL FYI, will be absolutely loving that. Let's not spend too much time on it. Southampton, I can't invest. I still can't invest in them. And Arsenal, I can't go anywhere near them right now. I mean, if you want one of the forwards, Lacazette or Aubameyang,
they're too expensive.
Fair enough if you want them, but flipping heck, you're paying a bit of a premium over the likes of Tammy, Jimenez, Vardy, etc.
I tell you what, when Emery gets the sack, get one.
Strong words. Strong words from Sam. FPL,
he's going to get the sack.
It feels like he is, and we're not going to go too much into this, but it does feel like he's losing a lot of goodwill within that Arsenal
Pellegrini
family.
Pellegrini and Silva, they're all on a little tightrope. It's just which one of them falls off it first.
Yeah, yeah. As FPL Chancellor is saying, really nice point this. Southampton's so unlucky. Where did that added time come from? Yeah, absolutely. And what was telling for me, by the way, was the lack of celebration on Lacazette's second goal. Did you see it? He banged it in. Now, normally, 93rd minute, not winner, equaliser. Yep. He should be shirt up, giving it all of that. Well, but I feel like he and the team are a bit like,
whatever,
we should be winning this game, never mind just drawing it. So there was like this lack of celebration. I don't know whether it was a VAR thing as well, maybe, I don't know. But
what has gone wrong in North London?
Something not quite right at Arsenal, and it's a problem. What I will say is that for spells, Ozil did all right in that game, from what I understood. He was fine. £350,000 a week, you'd want him to be pretty bang on it for 90 minutes, but given that he's been pretty bang off it every minute, the fact that he played well in pockets is some improvement.
Yeah, but he won't play him next week.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, don't go near Arsenal at the minute would be my advice, guys. Unless you
certainly
want
don't go on a defender.
And then the only other game that we haven't mentioned, Watford nil Burnley 3.
What happened there?
I'll tell you what, it is so FPL 1920, the fact that James Tarkowski is now back-to-back player of the week, isn't he?
Is he?
17 points last week, 19 points this week, or something like that. That sums up this season in one sentence, isn't it? That is, this season has peaked. That is peak 1920. James Tarkowski, back-to-back player of the week. Nevertheless, Burnley, who pretty shoddy on their travels, frankly, have gone to Watford, who, if I was a Watford fan, Joe, if you're listening, I'd be a bit concerned about that, because the one thing you would say about Watford in the last few weeks is they've tightened up at the back, been less leaky, haven't scored a lot of goals yet, but they've been less leaky. So the League 3 to a team that don't score many on the road, that's a problem.
I agree.
That's a problem. And I didn't see enough of Delafeu. I didn't see enough of their forward players that would make me think that I want anybody there.
If you've got Delafeu, I question why. Because there's so many really, really good attacking options out there at the moment.
Yes.
Why the hell have you still got Delafeu?
Yeah, no, absolutely right. FPL tactician, Tarkowski, 12 and 17. Ariaman, 12 last week. 17 this week for Tarkowski.
Ridiculous.
Is Tarkowski essential?
No.
No. And of course, guys, we've got Aston Villa versus Newcastle to look forward to tomorrow night. And of course, you've got two players in that game.
Well, I'm hoping that Heaton's going to make
it. If Heaton is fit, you've got Heaton.
He's supposed to be all right. Okay. So
and
that's
of course, John
okay.
McGinn. So, yeah.
And John McGinn or Moutinho if John McGinn don't play.
Well, okay. Very good. All right. So there are the games, guys. There are the games. Just before we get into our teams, just a shout out for all of the podcast listeners who, of course, you've alienated, Sam, so they won't be listening anymore. But if you are a podcast listener...
A special apology.
You did say special apology. So if you're a podcast listener and you are still listening to us...
A little bit.
On the actually, I can do that in the podcast.
Just crop out the sound dipping.
I can do that.
Yeah, so it's fine. Then, wouldn't it be? I didn't even need to apologise. What do you think to apologise for something that's going to be disappearing when it goes out as a pod?
Now the podcasters are just going to be flipping confused.
They're going to be like, what hell? There was no muting the sound. What are you talking about?
So there we go. If you're listening to us on Spotify, Deezer, SoundCloud, Apple Music.
Hi, caramba.
However you get... All right, Bart Simpson. However you listen to FPL Family on the podcast... we love you for doing that. Thank you for subscribing. Quite a few followers already on Spotify and on SoundCloud in particular. So, guys, if you're listening to us on the podcast, thank you very much for listening to us. And we love you for doing that. So thank you for that.
And sorry for the sound.
And sorry for Sam and the microphone earlier on this evening.
I don't think I've been that bad. I've been trying really hard.
It has improved over the course of the...
Okay, good.
It has improved over the course of the live stream. So here's my team for the game week. 59 points. Overall rank down from 103k to 111k. So... proper treading water at the minute. Really treading water. I've been in and around between 100 and 120k for the last month, and I can't seem to get out of that rut. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm very pleased that I haven't plummeted down to 300 or 500. I'm very pleased about that.
Yeah, but the Vardy party started.
But equally,
now.
Without Vardy, that has really stunted my growth. FPL growth. There's no doubt about it. Now, listen, that 111k... will become something like 120k as of tomorrow because I'm all out. I've got no Aston Villa players. So John McGinn does something. If there's clean sheets anywhere, I'm going to drop a little bit more. So I'm expecting that overall rank to go down a little bit. So it is a red arrow this game week. But goodness me, could it have been different? Goodness me, couldn't it have been different? If the Vardy penalty is missed and it's a Madison goal on the follow-up, Madison gets a goal and some bonus points. If Sterling's armpit is onside rather than offside... I'm getting some Sterling points and some bonus points.
Can't believe how often we talk about armpits these days.
Ah, it's stupid, isn't it? It's stupid.
Do you know, and just to talk about it for just 1 minute, when Man City scored their goal yesterday, no, when Chelsea scored their goal yesterday, our six-year-old sat on the sofa, we were like, oh, Chelsea have scored, and he went, don't get excited, Mummy, it's got to go to VAR yet.
But that is so bad.
What?
That is so bad.
How is that the first thing that our six-year-old says when a goal is scored?
Right, listen. James, Planet FPL. I know the boys from Planet FPL. Suji's in tonight. Suji, if you're in, hi. James, give us your comments on this. James, from Planet FPL.
It's the first thing our six-year-old said.
Nearly six-year-old boy, when a goal was scored at the weekend, did not celebrate that goal.
Just looked up and went, it's got to go to VAR.
Because he looked up and he said, it's got to go to VAR, hasn't it? He did not celebrate. This is the world. This is the footballing world we're bringing our kids up
in. It was his granddad's team that scored a goal as well.
His granddad's team, so it's fine. We'll forgive him. It's Chelsea, but we'll forgive him.
Normally celebrate granddad's team
scoring.
That
is a team that he celebrates. Because he's five and it's his granddad's team. Chelsea scored at the weekend. He did not celebrate because he said, it's got to go to VAR. I hate it. I want rid of it. I hate it. Get it out of the game. Absolutely disgusting.
It made me feel really sad.
Oh, it makes me so...
What are we taking to Spurs? If we score a goal and he says, don't celebrate, mummy, it's got to go to VAR, I'll actually cry.
Absolutely hate it. Get rid of it. It's horrendous.
Sorry.
When the kids that were trying to get into this game are not celebrating goals, something is wrong, guys. Something is wrong. Anyway, rant over. 59 points. Could have been a lot better were it not for VA bloody R. Overall rank down a little bit. C'est la vie. It's a bit of a what could have been.
It's worked its face.
What could have been game week. The team is in fine shape. My transfers that I've already made for next game week are Sterling and Connolly to Pulisic and Vardy. Already made them. They are done. So I'm going into Chelsea versus West Ham.
Tripled on both?
Sorry, Suge, but I'm going Chelsea, West Ham, Mount, Pulisic and Abraham. I'm going triple Chelsea attack. And I tell you what, I'm playing all of them against that West Ham back line.
Of course you are.
With that dodgy keeper
who
and with no Diop.
Who's going to be on your bench next week with all these players coming in?
Oh, I don't know. Well, possibly Lundstrom.
Lundstrom?
Possibly in my bus team, Lundstrom's on my bench, which is going to be absolutely savage. But right now...
You wait to be punished by the Lord.
I'll be punished by the Lord.
The Lord is going to punish you next
weekend. He will smite me.
You are going to be in his bad books.
So there we go. I'm going triple Chelsea attack against West Ham. Vardy has come in as the most shield pick of the season so far. 9.6. I think he went up to 9.7 last night. So it just had to happen. So now I have the fabled Abraham Jimenez Vardy front three, which is very template. But it's very template for a reason, because those are the best three right now and they are banging form. And I've got Pulisic in as he's 12% owned, bit of a differential. Triple Chelsea is my differential right now.
I like it.
So there we go. So there's my transfers made. 59 points, overrank 111, could have been better. Your game week, 62 points, so not looking too bad. Given that you've got Heaton and McGinn to play, I think it's all right. Talk us through it.
It's a little red arrow at the moment, about 300 places or something, I don't know. Not a lot, 500 places, something like that. Virtually nothing.
Overall rank a little bit down, right?
But a little bit down, but it's not. It's not a lot.
You'll go back up if McGinn gets something,
or gets the flu,
or if Moutinho comes in. Yeah,
Heaton. Obviously, I'm hoping he's going to play. I spent a long time looking at my keeper issues because obviously Henderson can play this weekend, but I do like my two keepers, and I didn't really want to take -4 for a keeper. It felt ridiculous. So
those are two solid keepers, no doubt.
Yeah. So I listened to the press conferences and everything that was coming out of Villa suggested he was going to be fine. He was back in full training on Friday, had two training sessions yesterday and today. It seems like he's going to play tomorrow, so hopefully he does. Okay. It's fine. I'm annoyed with myself about the bench again. What's frustrating is that I nearly got it right this week.
Yeah.
Like, for the first time, when the Bournemouth clean sheet had gone and the Chelsea clean sheet had gone, I was thinking, right, okay, I finally felt like I'm doing the right thing.
But look at your front seven there. Mane, De Bruyne, yes. Tielemans, yes. McGinn, yes. Vardy, Abraham, obviously. Kane, obviously. Who are you going to drop there? Moutinho was the obvious bench, I think.
And I said to Lee in the car on the way home from dinner that I think part of the... I love Lindstrom, obviously, and I won't hear anything bad against him, but I think part of the problem that Lindstrom is creating for me, and it's not just Lindstrom, it's also Tomori and Soyuncu, the three of them, by being so great and by being so affordable, they're creating a problem where my fifth midfielder isn't actually a player I want to bench. It's
true.
A player I want
to
play.
But actually, you're in a similar position with your back five, aren't you?
Every week. And this is why my bench is such a problem, because my squad is so nice that I want to play them all.
Oh, I feel so bad for you.
But the problem is that I can't get it right and I keep benching the wrong ones at the wrong time. If you think about
Moutinho ain't going to... That's his first goal in a year, isn't it? He's not going to score many of those, I don't think.
Well, you're probably right. But the point is that where would I be if I'd have got these decisions right?
Yeah, because Moutinho is like 4% owned, isn't he?
But even if I'd have got these decisions right, that's 170 more points I'd have had over the course of the season.
Those 10 Moutinho points be back in that top 10K, wouldn't you?
All I'm saying is, I'd be winning the damn thing if I'd have got 170 points. But so, yeah, I feel like it's okay. It looks good for next week. I'm going to roll transfer next week because I used two last week. Unless there's a problem appears.
Champions League and what have you coming up. Yeah,
but I'm going to roll transfer this week, ready for game week 15.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, listen, before we go to the poll results, let's have a look at our manager of the month for November. Let's see how the patrons are getting on. David Strombol doing very, very well indeed with a game week score of, get this, Sam, 85 points.
Nice.
85 points. Pushes him up from second to first and pushes Pete Hampson and his team Chelsea Pensioners, who we like, for the name.
I love the name. Just forget that.
Pete was up in first. He's now down in second with a very respectable score of 70 points, by the way.
How many of these that have got players to play tomorrow?
But David's 85 has pushed him back up to first. Absolutely sensational stuff.
So what's
stuff.
The difference?
I tell you what, Kieran, who was October's winner, is in third, by the way.
Is
up
he?
From fifth with a very nice game week score of 78 points. So
Kieran's flying.
He is having the season of all seasons, 238 points
nice,
already
Kieran.
In October. So if you're not following at FPL underscore Keza, there's somebody you should go and follow. That's Kieran Screeton from our manager of the month. He was the manager of the month winner for October and is third for November. So looking like he might get back-to-back managers of the month here, Kieran.
Small Liverpool if he does.
Absolutely.
I'm presuming
stuff.
Our Chelsea pensioners were going to want Chelsea. We've not said anything Chelsea yet.
We haven't yet.
What's the current winners team called?
It looks like the current is called TAFE.
Oh, that's not giving me any clues.
No clues. But David, if you're in our Slack, come over to the Slack and tell us who your team is.
I'd love to know what your team is.
And then fourth is Bryce. Fifth is Danny, who, by the way, Sam, 89
Danny.
Points.
Danny's
this
another
week.
One.
Oosh.
He's on one at the moment. He's in the Slack.
He's Sam, 24th he was last game week. Fifth now in November.
He's flying this.
So he's absolutely flying, Danny. Absolutely sensational stuff. As is Matthew Brigg, who is now 7th, up from 28th with the game week score of 83. Superb stuff. And Christiana Flyer, she's having a flyer. Christiana Fryer is in 6th, up from 7th with 71 points. So some really, really nice scores
decent.
This game week in the manager
well
of the month for November, guys.
Wonder
you guys
how many
are
these
absolutely
have got
smashing
left.
It. Absolutely smashing it. So David and Pete very much leading the way, but Kieran, Bryce, Danny, Christiana and Matthew all flying the flag and could absolutely do something with a decent game week.
Just
only one more game week to go.
But then next month it becomes very interesting because so many game weeks.
So manager of the month for December is going to be awesome.
I mean, I don't know
so
how we're
going to
keep track
games.
Of it because every time we come on there's going to be two game weeks.
At FPL Family on Twitter and Instagram. That's how you're going to keep track of it, Sam.
Oh,
that's
there you
how
are.
You're going to keep track of it. Let's go to the polls just before we go. So where's my questions? Here's my questions. Let's have a look on here. Right, one in here, and we have to go and pause the audio, and then I need to go into the little... All right, so, guys, last chance to get into the polls. Little one eye above my head. Go and answer these questions, Sam. Best Spurs asset, Son, Ali, Moura, Kane, or other?
I'm going to say Ali. I think he's going to go on a run.
Oof, Ali. Okay, interesting. Most of you guys going with who I would have gone for, Son, Heung-min Son, 77%. I thought you looked fantastic. I really, really did. Ali then in second at 10. So there is some guys out there that are backing you, no doubt about it. So outside
fans.
Of Son, people are thinking Ali looks pretty good. I think I would like to see a bit more from Ali. I don't want him to just have one good game. If he's good game next week and a good game the week after, bit of consistency, then yeah, he's worth
it. Coming.
But with Son, you know he's proven... He will have good games and he's at quality.
Right.
But if Ali starts showing some consistency, fair enough. But as a differential, if you fancy him to go on a bit of a streak, which you do...
I do, yeah.
There we go. It could be a nice differential. What to do with Mason Mount, Sam? If you owned him, buy, hold or sell, what would you do with him right now? I think hold, given those fixtures, wouldn't you?
100% hold him, but...
Possibly buy?
I'd put him on the buy list, for sure. The fixtures are too nice.
Yeah, I think against...
And
that...
I just think it was just a... I just think it was a tactical
it
thing
was tactical
City.
Against City. Yeah, I agree. Buy or hold, what are we saying? Or
buy. I'd buy.
Buy,
him.
Okay, interesting. So only 1% going with buy. Most are going with hold, 51%. 46% of you guys are saying sell, which I think
is... a game against West Ham.
Possibly a bit hasty, guys. I do expect Mason Mount to come back into that side for Kovacic against West Ham. And I think against West Ham could do very, very well indeed. But listen, you know, he's out of the team, hasn't been... wonderful FPL wise, and of course you've got Pulisic and others that you might want to get as well, so I can see it, Sam. I can see it, but over half of you going for hold, which I think is a very sensible option. Best midfield differential under 4.4% TSB ownership. Dwight McNeil, Adama Traore, Jean Moutinho, Harvey Barnes.
Oh, I wonder.
Jean Moutinho. All right, 27% of you guys going for Jean Moutinho. 39% going...
It's another one I've started. Watch him get benched.
Well, I know. Yeah, I know. 39% of you, so almost 40%, going with Moutinho's teammate, Adama Traore, who again looked pretty good at the weekend. Did he pick up a bit of a knock in that game?
Who's this? Sorry.
Adama Traore. Did I see he picked up a bit of something?
But I don't think it's anything serious.
I don't know. I might have got that wrong, guys. You can tell me in the comments below. But Adama Traore, 39%. Jean Moutinho, 27%. Harvey Barnes, 15%. Dwight McNeil, 17%. So not a lot to choose between those two guys. But certainly the Wolves boys looking very, very good differentials at under 4.4% ownership.
They won't be under
Which
there for long.
Which of these teams is a hard, hard avoid right now? And there's an argument for every single one of these, but of them, West Ham, Everton, Arsenal, Southampton and Watford, which is a hard avoid right now from FPL perspective?
Everton.
The fixtures are terrible. Avoid.
The fixtures are dreadful.
Do you know
the
what?
The manager's about to be sacked.
I think you're spot on with that, because if you look at the fixture ticker for Everton,
terrible.
And again, we go back to game week one, it was like, well, we're definitely having Digne, we're definitely having Sigurdsson or Richarlison, just which one you're going to pick. We're definitely having a Coleman or somebody. We're definitely looking at Pickford, because their fixtures from game week one were phenomenal. Now, they had a tough start to the season, even with the easy fixtures. Now the fixtures are getting difficult.
This was the last
And
week.
They're in trouble.
And they've
it's
lost
tough for Everton, isn't it? It's tough for Everton.
It's awful.
So 28% of the guys agree with you. Everton are a hard avoid, but it's West Ham, actually. West Ham, 41% hard avoid. And I think if you did see that Spurs game at the weekend, you can absolutely see why the guys are 41% of you guys are going hard avoid on West Ham. They were bad. Very,
at least
very bad.
They can score a goal, though.
Yeah, but...
I mean, Everton...
I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, West Ham, 41%. Everton 28, Arsenal 19, so almost a fifth of you saying Arsenal are a hard avoid
too.
Right now. Watford on 7%, Southampton on 2%. Mid-priced mids, Sam, Moura, Madison, Martial or Pulisic, a straight choice. The question coming in from @VardyBoys on Twitter, who would you go for out of those?
I know that they're going to have said Pulisic, but I would go Martial of those three.
You'd say Martial, yeah. Okay, interesting. Interestingly, 43% of you guys going with James Maddison.
Oh, wow.
So looking at the Leicester double up, which, as I mentioned before, I absolutely can see that. A Maddison-Vardy double up going forward, I think, looks really, really good. And if you chuck Zoinju in there as well, I think that's the three, I think, that I've got in Leicester. I'd be very happy to have those three. Pulisic in at 37, so yes, you're right, given the Chelsea fixtures, given that Pulisic... Okay, didn't get anything against Man City, but still get into nice positions. Look confident on the ball.
Yeah. Captain America's great.
There was a couple of times he got on the ball against City and he did a couple of little tricks and a couple of little runs and stuff. Yeah. I thought he looked confident and comfortable.
I'm surprised he didn't win that poll. I thought you would all have gone for him.
I think he's a nice pick, 37%. Martial in at only 12%, actually, and then Moura in at 6%, because I think people are looking at Son in particular, and then obviously Dele Alli, and then maybe Moura as well. But Maddison at 43%, Pulisic in at 37%, Martial 12%, Moura at 6%. So there we go, guys. There we go. That is it. That is it for another episode of FPL Family. And what a game week we had. Absolutely sensational stuff. Loads and loads to talk about. Leicester and Chelsea looking absolute locks for our teams right now. Form, fixtures, Vardy's top scorer, Leicester keeping clean sheets, Abraham looking good, Pulisic on form. Three each from those. Sprinkle a bit of Liverpool. Sprinkle a bit of Lundstrom. Sprinkle a bit of Spurs if you want to be different. Sprinkle a bit of Wolves.
Oh, good, definitely some
Wolves.
And then
Wolves. You're
done. Definitely some Wolves.
That's the team. That's the template.
A bit of mustard jello.
Do you think we're a bit template at the moment from an FPL perspective?
I think you are.
You think I... Do you think we as a community are a bit template right now? Is there a template forming here? Do we need to be different?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I feel like you can be different with just one or two and it's enough.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, plenty to ponder, guys. The games are going to come thick and fast between now
and
Christmas.
Oh, I love the Christmas period. Firmino time. It's Firmino time.
He's got his goal. It's the start of the streak.
It's the start of Christmas.
There we go. You want to be different. Firmino's the one to have a look
well,
at.
Who am I getting rid of? Should I get rid of Vardy or Tammy or Kane?
So many good options, guys. It's very, very hard to pick. But the games are coming thick and fast right now. There's no doubt about it. And you've got transfers coming out of your ears every few days to think about what you're going to do with your team.
Yeah, don't miss the transfers and the deadlines.
Loads and loads of transfers and deadlines coming your way. The one thing we can say is that you won't see any more of us this week. We are not on any pods. We're not on FPL shows. We're not on FPLF. We are FYI.
Have we been sacked?
Or anything. No, we're just having
a week off.
A week with no FPL family, which will give us a chance to sort out the pictures up here.
We'll
get the chairs in
here.
We'll get a proper stand for the mic so that you don't unplug it and mute everybody again. And then we might be in...
I'll buy a table tomorrow.
I think this time next week, guys, 8 p.m. Oh my God, next what Sunday. Are you say? I think we're gonna this is gonna be looking good, I think. We're gonna have stuff on the walls, we're gonna be cooking on gas. Cooking on gas. Well, there we go, guys.
You've made a promise now.
Well done, guys, in game week 13. It was unlucky for some.
It's not finished.
Well done in game week 13. Unlucky for some. Unlucky for some with VAR. Right. Unlucky.
Hang on.
For Madison owners. Unlucky.
And just get me a little. Unlucky
for Sterling owners.
Give you a little violin.
Feel very unlucky. Very unlucky.
It's a violin.
Guys, well done in game week 13. Green arrows, and we will see you this time next week for another FPL family when we'll be discussing all things game week 14, loads of great fixtures, loads of great captaincy choices. Going to be 100 plus game week, I can feel it. We will see you this time next week. Cheers.
Take care, guys.